Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? Success leaves footprints, but oftentimes they get covered up, or, as I sometimes think, camouflaged, hidden, placed out of view. And what we do on this show is we go in, examine history. We examine those traces of what has happened. Because we often hear that we must know our history or we are destined to repeat it. And while that is a true statement, it is only true if we start with the facts. Many times this is not the case. Many times facts are withheld. And it seems as if there are two categories that this falls into. One are the horrors of slavery, of racism. And if you keep that out of people's knowledge, then it didn't exist. Now, we know that that's not true. But it seems as if we are operating under that concept, that if we don't hear about it, it did not exist. We have many situations where even instructors, teachers, are telling people it did not happen because they were not taught. This is a systemic problem that goes back many, many decades, centuries, and it is based on changing the perception of history in order to justify the inequities of history. So we make our effort to rectify those situations. Another thing that we don't hear are the accomplishments of those people that have achieved success despite the roadblocks, obstacles that have been placed in their path. And it seems as if that knowledge is somehow detrimental to us. So it is withheld. It's like being on a team. In this time of year, we're into football. And that is not acknowledging certain positions on the team. It is a team effort. The running backs would be in big trouble if they did not have an offensive line, if they could not move defensive players and move them where they wanted to. On the other hand, the defensive player is there to disrupt, to stop the forward advancement of the ball. But you don't get a true understanding, a true delivery of the game unless you understand all aspects of it. With that, you can make progress. But if you don't know about it, you can't. And today's primary discussion, and I say primary because we do talk about other topics, I will open microphones later. Now, we have many people that join us on their computers or other devices, and we welcome you with open arms. But we do have the opportunity to talk with those people who have called in. If you are listening on your computer, don't hang up. Don't call in until and unless you have something that you wish to say, to add. And it does not have to be agreement with me, because we can have a disagreement on various subjects. And in fact, I often do with close friends that have different views on many different topics. But we understand it and we can have a civil conversation. This is what I ask. I ask that you not use profanity, that you do not lace your speech with hate. And that doesn't mean that you can't disagree. We can. But we can be adult in terms of mature about it. Now, I'll give you that number, but I do have a couple of housekeeping things that I would like to share with you. When you are online, if you have not muted your phone, we can hear everything in the background. Pots and pans rattling, dogs barking, trains going by, discussions between family members. Sometimes it just becomes ambient noise to you. That means it's just background. You don't pay any attention to it, and it's not there. But to those people that are interested in listening to the conversation, it can be. If you're on a cell phone, there is a little icon that you can touch. It's a mic icon of a microphone, usually on the main page, that you can touch, and it will mute the phone. Now, when it mutes, it does not mean that you cannot hear, because you can hear everything just as you are able to now. But it is a courtesy to the other people listening to the show. If you're on your house phone, generally the procedure to mute is *6. *6. Now, while you are muted, that just means that we can't hear the ambient noise in the background. But when you are ready to talk, you just simply unmute, either on a cell phone or your house phone. Once you have completed what you have to say, please mute again for the same reasons. So we do this in an effort to have a discussion on a subject. It is not the only subject that we can talk about, because there are many other topics that can and should come up. This is a place where if you have a question, ask it. And sometimes it goes back, because what we're finding are what we knew all along, but we're seeing more and more examples of it, is the fact that it's not in our history book. We don't believe it. We've had people that have fought in wars, and we sometimes have the wrong impression, because many people that went over were designated to the worst jobs that a person could imagine, the worst jobs. And generally this was along racial lines. But in the process, we did have people that fought and fought valiantly, such as Freddie Stowers, Corporal Freddie Stowers. And I've been in contact with his family. I admire them greatly because they are carrying on the work that he did. Stowers is the first black soldier to be given the Medal of Honor in World War I. Yeah, we've won medals in other wars as well. In fact, we generally have to fight to get in the war in the first place. Corporal Stowers. And that should tell you something, because at the time and place, to be able to get any rank in the military, if you were black, you had to be exceptional. And that man had the ability, he had the courage to do what was necessary. He wasn't recognized until 70 years after he had given his life for this country. And it's a shame, because we look at the people that could have been in a positive manner by his actions. And why do I say that? Because what history tells us is that people of color, particularly black people, have done nothing outside the world of entertainment, singing, playing an instrument, or sports. They will acknowledge that. Out of the average history book, 888 pages or so for the average history book used in our schools. If you find two or three pages devoted to black people, you're doing good, because most of them fall into those categories. They don't want you to know about it. But the man today is very, very impressive. We'll talk a little bit about his background. We'll talk about what he did. And we'll talk about how he was treated afterwards. And in many respects, it is shameful the way that he was treated, the way so many other people have been treated. When we look at, I cannot think of his name at the present time, but he was in the Normandy Day invasion. I'll think of it before the show is over, I'm sure. But he deserves the Medal of Honor, and yet was not. And part of the reason for that is that the records that verified what he did while in Army care were burned. We always run into this story. When we're looking at heroes, the records burn. The courthouse burnt down. Something else disastrous happened. The Noah's flood came through and wiped them out. Any excuse will do. Although it is well documented in other places, part of that is to justify the existence of slavery. Yes, we have passed slavery many, many years ago. But there were people that justified slavery on the fact that people of color did not have emotions, did not have intellect, and were thankful to have a benevolent white master to beat them, to starve them almost to death, to overwork them to the point where muscles pulled away from bone. We see this because we know the grave sites of many, and many we do not, because they are not sacred places in the minds of those people that don't look like them. It's a shame. It's a shameful testimony on this country. But what we have is an individual who saved the life of 15 injured sailors. 15. They were on board a ship that was bombed in World War II. In this bombing, 15 injured sailors were placed in a life raft. And Charles Jackson French, a black sailor. And remember, we are all in this war for one purpose, and that is to preserve democracy around the world. They are fighting for something that they don't even have here. They're fighting for the idea of democracy. They're fighting for the idea of equality, fighting for the idea that people can succeed, pulling their own weight. And yet we put so many obstacles in their way. When people go into the military, sometimes they have a specialty in mind. Sometimes they have the forethought to see that if I got training in this area, when I come out, I can do this. So it's a twofer. You can do two things. You can fight for the ideals of your company, of your country, and you can fight to gain skills to help you once you get out of the atrocity of war. But what we see in the case of black citizens, many times they had to fight to get included in the war, such as the American Revolution, the Civil War. And believe it or not, these are situations that actually happened. These people were clamoring for the opportunity to get on the battlefield, to show that they cared about this country, so in order to win freedoms, not only for themselves, but their family, their friends, their community, their country, of equality. But it was The door was slammed in their face. And in doing so, many people suffer casualties because the door was that close to allowing them in, only to have it slammed in their face. And Charles Jackson served two terms or two tours in the Navy. First one, he volunteered. And when World War II broke out, he went back. And laborers, stevedores, mess cooks, digging trenches and those types of things were the assignments that they were given. They didn't have the opportunity to do what other military people did, to develop skills to come out and move and advance forward. Even the Tuskegee Airmen, who we've seen in the movie Red Tails, and we have heard about, these men were accomplished pilots, and they never lost a plane that they were escorting. Does not mean that some of them did not die a heroic death, because they did. They did this because they were dedicated. They had orders. They knew what they were supposed to do. They didn't go after the glory that many other pilots had. They did was heroic indeed. And they were among the best pilots that we could produce. Yet when they came back, we would think that some of them would have been able to fly for the airlines. But somebody else is making the decision. Somebody else is control and says, well, a white passenger might not want to fly with a black pilot. Might not. And so they didn't even get jobs at what they were skilled at, whereas other people were. It was a highly desirable job. They had demonstrated their courage, their ability under the blanket of war, where they could lose their lives. And many did, and many suffered injuries. And one of the things that we see in terms of the racism of the time is that many of these people came back with severe injuries, severe. And yet, they were given, upon muster out, a disability rating of 29%. Why such an odd number? Why 29%? Because at 30, you got a pension. So the system was designed to be administered in an unfair manner. There were white soldiers with less disability who got the pension than those who were denied. Is that fair? Is that fair in the greatest country on the face of the earth? In my opinion, no, it's not. But let's go back to Charles Jackson French. He is in the waters. These are shark-infested waters. Nobody wants to be in that water. But they've taken the survivors, the wounded, and placed in a life raft. So how does he become a hero of this? The raft is drifting towards land, which sounds like a good thing, except that was territory that was right square in the target, in the eye of the target of the enemy. Making it to shore under those circumstances at that point would have been disastrous. In all likelihood, these people would have been captured. Remember, they were wounded and made prisoners of war. And many, many prisoners of war did not survive for various reasons. So this was like a case where they were going to be in a, basically, Remember, they're in shark-infested waters. There are other islands around. Jackson, one of the few blacks that survived, towed that life raft with 15 people on board. Now, it must be a pretty large raft to hold 15 people. Yet he swam in these waters. They tried to get him not to, because they knew that these were shark-infested waters. But Jackson, having experienced racism, knew that at least if they were attacked by a shark, that it would be quick. And it was preferable to the treatment that he had been receiving from his own fellow countrymen. So he did this. And in addition to that, there are estimates that he swam anywhere from 2 to 8 hours to get them to safety. 2 to 8 hours in shark-infested waters. I think he even bumped one of the sharks or was bumped by a shark. Fortunately, he was not severely injured. And yet, when they were plucked from the sea by an American ship, an American rescue ship, plucked them from the water, they took the 15 survivors and basically feted them, treated them very, very well, as they should have been. But then they told Jackson, no, you go over there where the black folks are. You're just a black person. That's it. You're not a hero in our eyes. Now, this is a man that saved 15 people. You would think that history would at least give him a little bright spot, a little something, something. No, they didn't. They gave him a letter. And that letter did not recognize everything that he had done. Now, on speaking for and on behalf of those people that were in that lifeboat, when they told Jackson to go over with the black soldiers, they adamantly refused. No, he is one of us, and he stays. And he was allowed to stay. But a man who has done this remarkable feat is treated based on the color of his skin, not the content of his character, not the courage that he has shown, not being under fire and putting his own life in danger to save his fellow countrymen. This is what is basically every day in the military. It has been for a very, very long time. We see that many people are delayed, or if they are recognized as posthumously after their death. I live in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I was born here. And yet I never knew of the 369th. The 369th was an all-black, all-volunteer unit. And among the people in that unit was James Reese Europe. He was a band. He was in charge of the band. And James Reese Europe, is the one that introduced jazz to Europe. Yes. When they got over there, they were playing sounds and the people just absolutely loved it. But they couldn't figure out where these sounds were coming from. Yeah, you see the instruments, but they had never heard anything like this. From that level on, and in fact, there was almost a riot in Spartanburg. The mayor sent the War Department a letter saying, we're not going to lift a finger to protect these people. We're not going to lift a finger. They wanted the money that the government was spending, but not if it was to take care of black people. So what we find in this situation is that the color of your skin stands out. We know that. But sometimes we don't understand how deep the cut is, how hurtful the treatment is. So we've got a young sailor who has just saved 15 white sailors who are injured in a lifeboat and saves them from almost certain death. And yet when the rescue ship picks them up, they're treated very well, but they want to put him in the segregated quarters of the black people. And these white people knew that the separated were nowhere near equal. Nowhere near equal. So they protested. They protested the fact that he was placed there. And they won. But the story that we get comes because the lone survivor on the bridge of that ship was able to publicize the act that was done. He was able to publicize the act that was done. Now, let me bring up something. Because we have not been given a fair assessment of history, we don't know that there were many white people that did not agree with the concept of slavery. We are not told that many of them suffered fatal effects from not going along with slavery. We find that this is the norm. And so what we end up doing is making it normal, not only in the military, but outside. When French went back into service, the family did not have access to the same living quarters that other people did. So in many cases, they were forced into ghettos. They were forced into substandard housing, substandard living conditions. At one time during the American Revolution, they had separate pay scales. And the soldiers had to say, no, we're not taking it. We want to make the same thing as everybody else. And at that time, they were doing the same thing as everybody else. They were slaughtered like they were at Fort Pillow, where over 250 prisoners of war, rather than being taken as prisoners of war, were slaughtered to the point that the river ran red with human blood. With human blood. Now, Nathan Bedford Forrest, the starter of the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, was a Confederate general. And in, I believe it's Tennessee, where he is from, Tennessee has produced 3 United States presidents. 3. But there are more statues to Nathan Bedford Forrest than there are all 3 presidents combined. This shows you the depth that we must fight through in order to get any sort of recognition. This allows rumors, such as the fact that we have never done anything, to persist. And that gives people the right to give us a side eye. What in the heck have you done for us? All you've ever done is pick cotton, which is far from the truth, my friends, far from the truth. What I ask you to do is to look at my blog site, AmazingBlackHistory.com. And on that site, there are currently over 250 posts that delve into these types of matters. I used to think that the only thing that mattered were the areas where we succeeded. But it is not a valid picture if you leave out the horrors that people faced. And this is one. This man should have been a hero. He should have received, and his family should have received, recognition due. Melvin, what is wrong with me in remembering people's names today? But he was in Vietnam, and a soldier was down. We were leaving. He was shot 3 times. One hand, almost all of his fingers were blown off. And 2 other serious wounds. And we don't hear anything about that. He was given the Medal of Honor. But by the time he was given the Medal of Honor, he had sons that have gone through the military. And we give to those Medal of Honor winners a fast track in the military. We offer them schooling. We offer them training. We give them promotions. But that entire generation missed out because we didn't bestow that. Charles Jackson French had a rough life growing up. His parents died at an early age, and he spent time with his sister, who took him in, Viola, living in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha, Nebraska. Now, as far as I was concerned growing up, Omaha, Nebraska was one of those places that was all white, because history does not give us an accurate picture of life and where it is taking place and who is living that life. As we see, he volunteered for his first term and was given an honorable discharge. But when World War II broke out, he volunteered to go back, and is treated to a selection of the worst jobs that the Navy had to offer, the worst. But he did it because he was fighting not only for democracy for the world, but hoping that some of it would spill over to himself and other people. The horror of it is that many people left into the military with only the clothes on their back. And so there was a period of time when they were allowed to wear the uniform. Do you know that black soldiers and sailors have been killed for wearing the uniform of the United States military? Actually killed, brutalized, hung, burned, parts of their bodies sold as souvenirs, cards showing the most horrible and horrific pictures ever imaginable of human life being taken. And it was an industry that the post office had to push to make it illegal. They had to push to make it illegal. It was accepted. And so many of us come from families in which this was accepted. Lynchings. There have been over 4,000 lynchings in this country. And in many of them, they were advertised in advance. We're going to have a big hanging tomorrow, 5 o'clock, city center. Show up. It wasn't just men that showed up. Men, women, and children. This was a festive event. And how does that value life when you can take it so casually, when you can treat it as if it is a festive thing? You can't. You can't. It devalues. One of the unique traits of most of these people that were lynched, there were a few whites, is that they were black. Fills. It infuses. It permeates the citizenry. And while you directly may not know that you're involved, you see the attitudes of grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, sometimes even yourself, because it goes to that point. You may not understand it because you've never had to live it. When you are in the skin of a black person, it's something that you can't take off. It's not a suit that you can take off several times a week. You are in that the entire time. So Charles Jackson French had done this and was not treated very well. Not treated very well at all. Not recognized for what he did. Now, this could have been motivating to many, many people of the community who saw the possibility of what they could do because they saw what had been done. Now, when you are having somebody in your face the whole time telling you that you are nothing and doing everything that they can to make sure that you know it, from the fact of getting on a bus and having to sit in the back where all the fumes are, just the fact that you are stuck off in an area. When we see soldiers like Isaac Woodard, who being discharged as a sergeant in uniform from Fort Gordon, Georgia, traveling in South Carolina on a interstate conveyance, a Greyhound bus, wanted to use the bathroom. There is no bathroom there for him to use. He has to go around the building and use it and rush back, and the drivers are not courteous. The driver called police. The sheriff, Shull, came on the bus, beat him, and gouged both of his eyes out with a nightstick, permanently blinding him. This is a man that has put his life on the line for this country and is treated no differently than a piece of garbage. It's shameful. It is shameful. I don't know how we can at any point in time consider this a civilized society when we treat people this way. We treat them this way in every aspect of their lives. We have stories like this. But Charles Jackson French was noted. He attended, I think, a game against Creighton. Creighton, I believe, is in Omaha, and was awarded. There was even a cartoon that featured him. He was a regular feature in the cartoon because of his heroic actions. But it is not something widely known. It is not. There are many, many examples as we look through history of people that deserve to be known, that deserve to be honored, but are not. Why? Because of the color of their skin. We feature stories like this every week on AmazingBlackHistory.com. On Thursdays, we post the subject of our discussion for today. This one has been on Charles Jackson French. Now, I gave the number. I'll give it again. It is 646-668-8217. At least I think I gave it. Anyway, it's area code 646-668-8217. That's the number that you'll have to call in if you want to interact with us. It's not necessary that you do. But if there are questions on this or other topics, and like I said, we have over 250 posts and counting, we give you not only a summary of the person, but we try to find videos and we try to find books that link you to it. Because many of us believe that if I didn't read it in the book, it did not happen. But we see these two categories of information that are basically hidden from us. You know, a few weeks back, not very long ago, we did a story on Bill Russell. Bill Russell has the greatest athletic championship streak of anybody, including Tom Brady. 10 years in the NBA, championship 11 times. 11 times. But he stood up for himself. He stood up for his race. He was an activist. He participated in many, many things to call attention to what happened. Boston, he played for the Celtics, at the time was drawing a full arena to a mediocre team at best in ice hockey. They were winning in basketball and could not fill the stadium. When they surveyed people, what can we do to improve attendance? The people of Boston said, you got too many blacks. At one time, he was the only black on the team. And they went around and started with three. But when he played at, I believe it was San Diego College there, they were the first college team anywhere, except for the all-black school, to have five black starters. They won two championships. They had had a meteoric rise from mediocrity to championship. Bill Russell was not a selfish player. The actions that he took were what was best for the team, not what was best for him. And this spurred conversations about his friend, Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain was a great player. In fact, I think he scored 100 points in one game. But Wilt did what was good for Wilt. When Bill went to the Celtics, he scouted the team. Why? To see how he could help the other players. Bob Cousy was basically an idol in Boston. And while the link with all the championships included Bill Russell, not so much with Cousy. Yeah, he was flashy. He was a good player. But they wrote articles about how lucky Bill was to play on the team with Cousy. But when Cousy left, they continued to win. Charles Jackson was a winner. Charles Jackson French was a winner, willing to put himself on the line in shark-infested waters to save fellow countrymen, not white countrymen, not purple, not blue. All of that didn't make a difference. He saw an opportunity where he could do something. When I look back at statistics, I see that most white people, most, because in statistics, in areas where slavery was prevalent, only 6% of the people owned slaves. Across the board, it was 2%. 2%. And these people were responsible, not necessarily responsible in the sense of doing anything, but slaves produced over 50% of the gross national product of the entire country and fueled the economy of America. They fueled the economy of the world. They did more than pick cotton. South Carolina, famous for white gold. It's golden rice. It's not from China. It's from Africa, Senegal. And they had to bring these people over to show and farm it because they had the knowledge to do it. We're often told that we don't have knowledge. In fact, There was a time when the generally conceived idea was that blacks would never, never, ever play basketball because they did not have the intellect to be able to dribble the ball down the court and do anything with it. That is how backwards our thinking has been. And yet we have a man here that is proven at the sake of his life. He could have saved himself, but he saved 15 other people. When you look at Omaha, there is a black population in Omaha. But in addition to that, we look at what people had to face. Deficient schools, very deficient schools. And yet and still we rise, and yet I rise should be the theme of what we're talking about. Because we see the courage that it takes, one, to be in war, two, to volunteer. We look, we see that French volunteered both times and received honorable discharges, honorable discharges, because he carried out the duties that were there. When we look at other people, both in and out of the military, we see the same thing. We see in intellect. We begin to understand that the reason they did not want to provide schooling to black people was because if they could understand, they could learn, and if you could express the deep emotional feelings that you had, they were worried that that was the case. So they gave you substandard schools. When we look at Brown v. Board, one of the cases, there were five cases involved, involved Barbara Rose Johns. And she was the only student-led protest that made it into that group. And the book that she has written called Tar Paper Schools shows the quality of the school that they put. And you think that as soon as people were given an opportunity that everything changed? No, because I'm writing now an article on Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges, little six-year-old girl, who integrated the schools in Little Rock, Arkansas. Little Rock, Arkansas. She is speaking on what it had. And you think that people won't hurt themselves in order to hurt you? Those white parents pull their kids out of school rather than even go to a school that had a black student, one black student in it, one. And what they would do is outside the school, they would gather, they would taunt her, they would toss racial epithets at her. She had to be escorted into the school by federal marshals. One day, her teacher, who she loves dearly, and they have a great relationship. And you should watch the videos that accompany that post that will be coming out soon. And Ruby stopped in front of these people taunting at her. And the teacher could see her mouth moving. This is a six-year-old. And she was concerned because these are adults taunting a six-year-old, making threats against her life, calling her everything but a child of God. She, teacher, worked great together. They were the only two in the classroom. The teacher asked Ruby, "What were you saying to those people? Because I could see your mouth moving." And Ruby confided in her that every day before she went across that mob or through that mob, going to school or coming from school, she always prayed and said to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. This is a six-year-old, and she is praying for those people that are tormenting her. She said that at lunchtime, no kids ever played with her because there were none there. Her teacher was quite astute and took her down to another classroom, and she made some friends there. But one of the kids had come up to her and said, I can't play with you. Because my mother said, I can't play with niggers. And while it hurt very much, Ruby understood at the age of six. That was the explanation as to why they weren't playing. Now, we have people that don't know Ruby Bridges. They don't know her parents. They don't know the family. But yet they are so consumed with hate that they will take their kids out of school to avoid even being in the same building. That shows you how deep the concept goes, how deep the hatred is, and what people have had to put up with. We see some of it on a daily basis because every so often film surfaces of the way that cops treat black citizens, even when they're not doing anything. Using a cell phone in your grandmother's backyard can get you killed. These are the types of things. When we look at a young man fairly recently in Ohio, now the Columbus Police Department has killed three people in 8 days, and we can't see a problem there? I don't care the color of these people, but that does not seem fair and appropriate. They break into a man's home. They tell him to get up, and as he's getting up, they shoot him in the abdomen and kill him. Kill him. Kill him. He's unarmed. They found a vape pen on his bed later. No gun. No nothing. You don't have to have one. It is the perception that's there. Charles Jackson French did as much to repeal that notion as anybody. But by keeping that history hidden, we don't get the benefit of it. Nobody gets the benefit of it, neither black nor white. When I grew up, I thought, even though my next-door neighbor was a doctor, up the street was a dentist. We had teachers, preachers all around me. But we're still told over and over and over again in every way that you can imagine that we are somehow inferior. Those of you that travel may have seen a Canadian $10 bill. And on that bill is a black woman. Her name is Viola Desmond. She got there because she was beaten by the police and taken out of a movie theater. Her crime? Tax evasion. I mean, you have to sort through many books to make this connection. Although Canada did not have the de jure laws on the books that we had in the South or in America, it was not even de facto. But she asked for a movie ticket because her car had broken down. And she was the Madam C.J. Walker of Canada, and she was delivering products. And they beat her. They put her in jail. They denied her counsel and fined her. Oh, let me talk about the charge. The charge was tax evasion because the difference in the price of a ticket in the balcony and on the main floor included a 1 cent tax. 1 penny. And for this, they said that she violated the tax rules. And she was fined $20 for not paying this penny, plus $6 that went to the movie manager for even reporting her. Canada found out about this and gave her a free pardon. Now, free pardon differs. It doesn't pardon you from the crime. It said it never should have happened in the first place. And in honor to her, she is on the Canadian $10 bill. Do you think that we could ever do something like this? I knew when 45 came into office that we would not see Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, at least not for a long, long time, because he wears his feelings on his sleeve. There's one thing that is of concern to him, and that is him. Anyway, I don't want to get off into the politics of the situation, but I'll give you that number again, because what I'm going to do is close. I don't see anybody that's on here now. With that, we do hope that you hang on with the connections by computer and other devices. But in case, we'll do that, and I'll talk about a couple of other things that are taking place. We don't just talk about one topic. And we want you to bring your topics here, because there are so many that we don't know about. It may be one that we will do a future post on. Who knows? But if you disagree with some of the information that you've seen, let us know about it. We'll take a look at it. I don't have all of the answers to every question that can come up. Some people are going to have questions, I'm sure. No matter who and what you are, there are black people that will disagree with me. There are white people who will agree, and everything in between. Now, that's also a funny concept. We talk about black and white, but in the process, we miss the Asians. We miss the Native Americans. And I try to teach myself not to say Indians, because the only reason they're called Indians is because Christopher Columbus didn't know where the hell he was and thought he was in India. And therefore, these people became Indians. They are the original owners of this country. When you consider that there were 15 million people living in the Americas waiting to be discovered, it doesn't make any sense to you, does it? 15 million people that didn't exist until Columbus stumbled over here. And by the way, Columbus never set foot in North America. But we have evidence of trading with Africa before Columbus got here. It's even in his writings of events and things that happened to him. Yet we take the civilization that has existed. Now, very shortly, we're going to come up with an article on Timbuktu. And I know that's a synonym for the end of the world. Can't get to it. It's like that famous place in Egypt. But anyway, we have thousands upon thousands of manuscripts that have never been translated. The early Greeks went to Africa for their education. And yet we want to make it as if the people of Africa. And there are 54 countries there. We look at it as if it's just one place. There are 54 countries. That continent has been plundered, raped, and treasures stolen by Europeans. And yet we don't talk about that. We don't talk about how we've treated people. The term blood diamond, you very seldom hear today. But there are factor upon factor upon factor. When we look at Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in a prison, and yet what he did was he harbored no animosity against those people. And that takes a man of Herculean willpower, in my opinion. What he did for the good of the country. And this is what we need today. This is why we need examples of people like Charles Jackson trench so that we can dispel the idea that we have never done anything. We talk about courage or the lack thereof, and we find that that myth is dispelled. We talk about how happy slaves were. And yet, and still, I'm writing a story about the Edmondson sisters who were captured, ultimately freed. But they were willing to do anything to get to escape slavery. Many of the people on board the Pearl, which was the ship they used in their escape attempt. And what happened is it was a sailing ship. The wind died down. They couldn't make progress. And then a storm rolled in, and they had to seek safe harbor. And the person that spilled the beans was a black guy, carriage driver, who was promised that he would be paid later, but was so infuriated that he spilled the plot people kept. That was 77 people seeking freedom. Now, we talk about a difference between house slaves and field slaves. And yes, there was a difference, a big difference. They took the most polished and polished them finer and had them serving in the house. But that was certainly nowhere close to freedom. Nowhere close to freedom. Two of these girls, 13 and 15, were sold with the intent of sending them south and making them sex slaves. Yeah, it existed way back when. And through the efforts of Ward Beecher, who was an abolitionist minister, and if that name Beecher sounds familiar to you, it should, because he is the brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. We can change literature around to suit our concepts, because we find that Uncle Tom was not as it is used today. Not a tio taco. None of those things. He was a man of standing, a man who stood for what he believed was right, just as Charles Jackson French did. But a person that goes above and beyond should be recognized as a person that goes above and beyond. Why aren't there statues? Say, Alexandria, the city of Alexandria, Virginia, just recently unveiled a statue of Emily and Mary Edmondson, the two sisters that we're talking about in this story. That will be out soon. These ideas come up, and many times they are suggested. This is why I want to hear from you. You can go to JCA, as my initials, AmazingBlackHistory.com, at gmail.com. What did I say? JCA, AmazingBlackHistory, at gmail.com. And send us, because everybody doesn't want to talk on the radio. But we want to hear from you. We want to interact with you. We want to know your concerns. Sometimes there are people that ask questions. In February, we're going to take a look at an unusual topic, and we're going to look at some of the massacres and hangings and other brutalities that people have been subject to. And the purpose of a lynching was to deny a person their rights, and also to terrorize an entire community, an entire race of people. It's worked effectively. And over 4,000 people have been hanged, and we couldn't pass a law to make it a federal crime. Why? We pass laws when way less people than that meet an untimely demise. What I do oftentimes in a room, it's almost like there's our side and the other side. And we certainly have done this. We've done it with our railroads. In fact, Fort Munport, I believe, was a military base, a Marine military base, and it had a railroad track running through it, whites on one side, blacks on the other. Whites on one side, blacks on the other. These are some of the excesses that we have taken to ensure that people know that society suspects them of being inferior. But we see people rise from the ashes. The first kidney transplant between two people that were not identical twins was done by a black physician. Done by a black physician. James McCoon Smith, the first licensed doctor in the first licensed black doctor in the United States, was not allowed admission in an American medical school because of the color of his skin. But he was allowed to go to Glasgow, Scotland, where he earned 3 degrees at the top of his class, competing against the best that Europe had to offer. He did his residency in Paris, so we know that he has to speak at least 2 languages. But he came to America, and he opened a pharmacy in addition to his medical practice. This is what we find. They don't even want us to know that. And when you find that a black sailor who risked his life in shark-infested waters for up to 8 hours towing 15 wounded white sailors to safety, something is wrong with that situation, folks. That is Charles Jackson French. Give me, anybody, give me one reason except the color of his skin as to why we don't know about him now. And even more shameful is the shocking treatment that he was given when rescued. I mean, come on now, folks. Fair is fair. This is nowhere near being fair. That's why we talk about Charles Jackson French. Go to that article and look at the videos, because you can go as deep into this as you want. Many people tell me that they don't know where to look for information. They don't know what to look up. And that's certainly a true statement, because I spend a lot of time digging just to find a thread that I can follow to get to the subject. It's that difficult. And when we spend so much time covering it up, we're not being fair to anybody. There are white allies that we could have to advance the entire country, but we're not spending so much time with the side eye as if you didn't do anything. We make progress. This is why our country is great, because we have allowed people to make progress, to move forward. And certainly, this is a startling example of that. I want you to be aware that there has to be a reason why history is this distorted, because it goes back to slavery. And to justify slavery, we had people putting out information, false information, that we weren't intelligent enough to function on our own. We didn't have the motivation to do anything. And yet and still we see people that are motivated and motivated and motivated and motivated and oftentimes get kicked down, kicked in the teeth. This case that I saw this morning on television is an example of that. This is a police officer that killed a young man. His name is Antoine Black, and I've got to go in and look up information on it. He had a prior charge where he had a man is surrendering. We don't even know that he was involved in the incident. But as he is getting down, this officer kicks him in the face, breaks his jaw. They know about it. And yet and still, he goes on to kill Antoine Black. And there's so many similarities in his case and the one in Minnesota that it's uncanny. But before that, and they knew about this, he worked for a department and had 4 charges of excessive force, 22 against Black men. And yet he was hired. Something has to be done, folks. Something has to happen so that people know we are as valuable as anybody else. But let me give you a warning. That starts with us. We must know who we are, who made us, and what we're capable of doing. That's what they've hidden away from us. That's what they've not allowed us to see. And there is a reason. Because they want somebody or something to be on the bottom rung of the ladder. They cannot stand competition. They cannot stand. We have been denied jobs when we were the better qualified person. We have been in jobs and told that we didn't qualify, but we had to train our replacement. Train our replacement because we knew the job, but they didn't. But the reason they were getting it is because we didn't know what we were doing. We couldn't do it. And yet and still, sometimes years later, they're still coming back. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? Is that stupid or is it not? Think about it. Think about it. How can you make progress when you are spending so much time holding somebody down? I say compete. Allow us to compete. Allow us to compete on an even basis was as foolish as anything that I had ever heard of. And that is that you overqualify. And I applied for a job at a company that I wanted to apply to after I graduated. There were 4 of us that went out, 4 chemistry majors. It was a chemical plant. None of us ever got a call except one. And he got a call by the time we could get home. We say, what did you do that we didn't do? He said, I ain't put down that I'd ever been to college, that I ever knew anything about it. And he is the one that was called. The rest of us were overqualified. Now, if I want a job, I'll take any job you got. Or else I wouldn't waste my time applying for it. But you are going to determine whether I want it, whether I can do it without giving me an opportunity. This is the result of all of this miseducation that's taken place. As we talk about history, and we do this every week at 4 o'clock, every week what we're doing is giving you the facts of history. We're not making up anything. We're not adding anything that wasn't already there, but we're clearing the garbage off of what is trying to be concealed. Yeah, it's trying to be hidden. Otherwise, we would know about some of these things. Otherwise, we would have it there. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a book of 888 pages that overlooks us, except for the fact that we can sing and dance and play sports. Unfair, totally unfair. And even when we can, we don't get the recognition that we deserve. We can do more than that because we're capable of more than that. We were designed with more than that. It's not going to be long before we come out with this article on Timbuktu. But we're going to talk about other things. We're going to keep it interesting, but we need to hear from you. JCA Amazing Black History at gmail.com. And we can hear from you. I'm not looking for perfect English or anything else of the nature, but I do want to hear from you. What do we talk about? What questions do you have from subjects that we have covered before? We continue because it's important. It's important for us. It's important for our children. But it's equally as important for you as it is for me. It has been a journey that has awakened me because I went through life thinking that Africa was something to be ashamed of. Now I'm so proud of that place that it's impossible not to. And let me tell you something else. We sometimes, when I was telling you the story about the Edmondson sisters, many times we look at a differentiation as if there were a different race, and I don't necessarily like using this word, but it's frequent, and most of our listeners are adult. If you're not, I apologize, and I'll explain more later. But the house Negro and the field Negro, neither one of them had freedom. I don't care what the difference was. They weren't doing the same black back-breaking drudgery, but it was not freedom. And besides, how did you get these supposedly light-skinned people, which we think all of them were in the house, not necessarily so, but it came because of the attractiveness of the people in the field. There were slave owners who had children from field hands that looked more like them than their own wife could produce. They claimed to be Christian, but they're breaking their vows every chance they get, every chance they get. There must be something other than disgust from these people. And yet you take it as if that's what it is. Yes, some of these people would probably have sex with a chicken if they could. Some of them probably did. I don't see these as moral people in any standing that takes a vow before God and then just breaks it at will for his own self. It has been a pleasure to be with you today. I look forward to seeing you again on next Sunday. And again, write this number down, 646-668-17. We do welcome you using your device, because you can listen to us using your phone. You can use us using your computer, your tablet, whatever other device. The important thing is that you get the information. The reason that we want to hear from you is to stay on the cutting edge of what does most for you. What does most for you? We spend time every day working on this. We hope that you will support us. If you go to the blog site, there are often links to partners, and we're working to expand that as well. But that's an opportunity where you can help us ascend, because the royalty that we receive is paid by the partner, not by you. We want you to get the best service. We look for those things. But our primary intent is to deliver information to you. Like I said, we've got over 250 posts up, active and alive. And if you go by and find a broken link or something that you disagree with, let us know. It's been my pleasure. This is John C. Abercrombie. The program is Did You Know? That success leaves footprints, but people will come along and do everything they can to cover them up, to conceal them, and then tell us that we must learn history or we're going to repeat it. And I say horse feathers to that. If we don't know the facts, we're not learning history. It may be his story against my story, but I back up my story with fact. Facts. Facts should be what speaks. Been a pleasure, my friends. I want to see you again next week, and may your week be profitable, productive. May you have good health that allows you to come back and listen to us again next week. The program is Did You Know? We come on at 4 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. We're heard around the world. Join us. I think that you will be enlightened and entertained at the same time. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I will see you again next week.